You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Got a crisp fall morning here. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Zach, I can comfortably wear jeans today.
Yeah, right?
It's very nice.
It is a crisp fall morning. I'm going to a pumpkin patch this weekend.
Look at you.
And like that to me, I was just like, oh man. All right, I guess summer's officially over.
We're here. Yep.
Yeah.
Like, fall is here.
It was like this disappointing, like, I'll go, but like... Don't be upset when I'm melancholy the entire time.
We were talking about before the show, my girlfriend just got a crock pot for her birthday.
The best.
It's so good. I never thought that kitchen appliances would get me excited.
Like when you hit adulthood.
If you talked to 14-year-old me and said, yeah, you know what you have new to play with? Yeah, it's a crock pot. Get excited. Here we go. It's not a new video game.
Nope.
It's not a new, you know, whatever. Like, it's a crock pot.
It's homemade pulled pork and chili. We can't wait.
But that's what makes fall so good.
Pot roast.
That's what makes fall so good.
It's like my big thing with fall. I don't like when it gets colder, but I like the comfort food that I'm having more than summer food.
Oh, see, I like when it gets colder.
By an absurd amount.
Yesterday, the fact that I was able to lounge around the house in a hoodie and sweatpants made me so happy.
I almost wore sweatpants into this morning.
Yeah.
I was up and down about it. Then I was like, no, it's not Friday. Let's not do that.
Can't have a lazy day on a Wednesday.
That's what I'm saying. It's a Wednesday, even though I woke up this morning like with full intentions of it being a Thursday. It's fine. It is what it is. I'm like, I can't do that.
Tomorrow's Thursday,
but it hurts more when you're waking up going, like, man, I only got like one more day this week. And you're like, no, you don't. It's the middle of the week.
It's also a good feeling, too, because the Bills play at 1 o'clock this weekend. And it feels like fall. Like, I can't explain it, but... 1 o'clock games are the only games that I think of when I think of fall. And, like, honestly, if you ask me, the primetime games feel like winter. I know that the Bills have had 3 primetime games so far this year, or two, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't look at a primetime night game and think, yeah, it's the summer, or yeah, it's fall. No, I look at that and I think of just, like, wintertime.
I am about done with the primetime games already.
Yeah.
Having 3 right in a row kind of wore on me.
Can the NFL start a fan survey of like, hey, how many primetime games do you want your team to have this year? Like, how are you feeling?
See, I'm always like, good with like the 5 primetime games. Like, we're still a good team. I want my team to be out there the whole
time.
I'm a big
4:30 guy. 4:30.
Okay.
Like, those
are good too.
I like the afternoon ones, like the late afternoon. Because 1 o'clock's good. Like, that's fine.
That's peak.
But there's something about that 4 o'clock kickoff that I'm like, yeah, like
really
this is nice because I can have like 1 o'clock's like just after lunch, but 4 o'clock right before dinner.
That's fair.
You could start eating dinner right before halftime.
Like, I've always looked at the 4:25, 4:30 window as like the Dallas Cowboys window.
Yeah, or like Detroit
always.
Lions.
Is that
driven at all by Thanksgiving? Like
no, for me though, it's always just like every time it seems like it.
Okay.
It's statistically not true, but it seems like all the time at 4:25, like, oh, and the Cowboys are on TV. it's always how it's played out. And so like for me, I always think of 4:25 as the Cowboys window.
Yeah.
And then you're right, for Thanksgiving, it's always the noon game, because I think it starts at noon, not 1.
Yeah.
On Thanksgiving is Detroit, and then the 4:25 game is always Dallas.
Right.
And then now we've added in the night game, which is always whatever. The Bills did the one night game that year in New Orleans for Thanksgiving. I hated it.
Yeah.
It was easily my least favorite.
Well, yeah, because you're fighting to stay awake because of the turkey. Like,
well, yeah,
and
I'm like
so tired.
That's my one issue always with primetime games is the existential dread I feel at about like 6.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh my gosh, we're still waiting like 2 hours to go.
And I also think about it this way too. Like, imagine if we were a West Coast fan base.
I've had this.
Imagine how different it would be, because everything is based off of our time zone.
Yeah.
And 1 o'clock kickoffs.
In actuality, it's 10 in the morning.
It's drastically different over there. I mean, imagine tailgating for a game that starts at 10 in the morning.
Giddy up.
Like, that's.
Let's go.
That'd be such a different vibe.
You don't have the drive. You don't have the determination if you're not tailgating at 7:30 in the morning for a 10 o'clock kickoff.
I mean, people tailgate it at 7:30 in the morning
for a 1 o'clock kickoff.
People do that for a 8 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah.
Like,
So
if we're being honest,
I feel for Bills Mafia, it's not changing much.
No, I know, but it's just I've always thought about that of like how different would your life be as a fan if you lived in a different time zone, because it's such a different. And I saw a meme this morning from Bills backers of Italy.
Oh yeah,
and they were like, "What happened to him? Oh, he stayed up all night and watched the Bills game. Oh." That sucks.
And you think about it, you're like, yeah, he the game would start like 4 a.m.
Right. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. No, I have thought about it for like the West Coast, but it's more of like if you're an East Coast guy your entire life and then you go out to like LA for a job and you're like, yeah, now sports start way earlier for me. And all of a sudden I'm not complaining that games start at 8:30, because for me it starts at like 5:30, 6:30. Like,
right.
I'm good.
And I think too about, you know, this coming weekend for the Sabres. They start at 1 o'clock on Friday, 10 a.m. on Saturday.
Yeah.
That's like Premier League games. That is so good. I love those times. Like,
that'll be a nice start, but then the very next week it's, I think, two straight 7 o'clock games. So
right back to seven.
Yeah, right back to where we're at.
I know, but I'm gonna take it when it's there.
Oh yeah, 100%. It's the same with Sabres After Dark, just in the opposite sense. Of like when it's there, it's like, ooh, gonna be up till 1 a.m. watching the Sabres game.
Yeah, you might LA be. I won't, but you might be.
I might be.
Sabres After Dark, I love it, but after a game or two, I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
I'm good.
The novelty wears off really
right.
fast.
Unless they're like, you know, winning and destroying teams. Then it's fun still.
Even then, the novelty wears off pretty fast. I'll watch the highlights in the morning. 803-0550 is the number to call. Having a little bit of fun here to start. But a big conversation that has been going on, two things. Von Miller suspended for 4 games for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. We'll get more on that with Sal Capaccio, who's going to join the show at 10:30. We're also expecting the first injury reports for the week. A number of guys to keep an eye on. Of course, Terrell Bernard, Taron Johnson, and Taylor Rapp. Rapp in concussion protocol. Johnson and Bernard have been up and down. We'll see on that. But also Khalil Shakir, who picked up an ankle injury on Sunday night. And it's kind of looking like it's going to be up and down day to day with Shakir. So we'll get kind of a first kind of picture on what that's going to be. Hopefully later today. And then also wide receiver talk. Devontae Adams didn't request a trade, but said he's preferring to be traded, which feels like I'm requesting a trade with extra steps.
Yeah, just come out and say it.
Just do it. And I've got a tweet up here from Adam Schefter. Two teams high on Devontae Adams' wish lists for places to land, if not at the very top, are the Jets and Saints. Adams ideally would like to play with Derek quarterbacks Carr. He knows. Jets have former teammate Aaron Rodgers. Saints have former teammate Derek Carr.
Man, that's interesting.
I would love the Saints, actually.
I would.
You asked me
really
a month ago,
that.
I'd be like, why would you go to the Saints? Like, I get Derek Carr, but like we've been there, done this. Now
right,
I'm like, ooh, wait a second. But as a Chris Olave fantasy owner, I don't love it. But
well, the question then becomes, what do the Saints have to give up?
Yeah.
Because the Raiders have said that the starting conversation is a second round pick, which is a lot.
Yeah.
But I would imagine they're going to want more than just a second-round pick. Because, I mean, if you think about it, especially if you're looking at a team like New Orleans, and you could even say this about the Jets, too, and some other teams, but specifically New Orleans, I feel like there might be some depth guys there that are younger that you could get in this trade if you're the Raiders.
Potentially, yeah.
I mean, it's a big piece. Granted, Adams is probably going to be a rental for 1 year. He's not going to be able to stick around after the next season, but it depends on your team's cap situation. The Saints may be in a different situation than the Bills, but if you're looking at Adams for the Bills, that's going to be a tight, tight money crunch.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be tricky to make that work.
Is Adams a rental just for this year?
I
thought it was just he didn't have guaranteed money after this year.
Well, I saw people talking about him as a rental in terms of, you know, what he could offer you based on his salary cap, too.
Okay.
But I don't know. I mean, if he's signed for 2 years, he's not a rental.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you do have a potential out in 2025. So this offseason.
Okay. Right. So it'd kind of be like what this Diggs situation is in Houston. Where,
yeah. You can kind of formulate the contract. Right. I will say he is 31 years old. He'll be turning 32 by the end of the season.
Yeah.
So
in a way, he's kind of a rental, but doesn't have to be, depending on the situation he goes to. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of depends, again, on your team's cap hit. If the Saints have enough cap space to keep him next season.
Which, I mean, you could always work stuff around and all that.
Depending,
in terms of their 2025 draft capital that they have, they don't have a ton. They have a 1, a 2, a 3, 4, 5, and a 6. They don't have any extra capital, nothing crazy.
Anything in 2026?
just add a seventh. That's it. So they really don't have any extra capital. I know that is why the Bills have been thrown in here a lot, and that is because they do have the 2-2s and 2-4s if they wanted to kind of get involved in this. I will say, though, and this kind of where we want to take the show a little bit today, 803-0550, number to call. Do you even really want to see the Bills add a receiver at this point, you know, on October, what, 2nd?
Yes.
You know, we're heading into week 5. Do you even want to see the Bills add a receiver? I tweeted out yesterday, Josh, we've been talking about it today off the air. If I were to add a receiver for the Bills right now, I would probably want Amari Cooper.
If he were
available.
I'm in the same boat as you there because, I mean, Amari Cooper is the cost-effective version of Devontae Adams. And not to say that I would, you know, if I had the option, I would choose Devontae Adams because he's just got that
he's better
pop and he's got that ability. But Amari Cooper, as I said, is just him, not as good, but does the same job, and it would only cost you a fourth or a fifth, potentially, depending on what the Browns want. Because the Browns are a completely different animal. I mean,
yeah,
you have to look how their season's going too. I mean, the Browns are.
We also don't even know if he's available.
Right. But I mean, it felt like he kind of was.
Kinda.
But not really. It's a weird situation there. It's not like he's came out and said he wants to trade. It's not like the Browns have come out and said they're going to trade him.
No, but the very weird, we're going to completely kind of wreck your contract to the point where a team taking him out would be $600K.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's he would literally be the Bills' cheapest wide receiver on the roster.
He'd probably be one of the cheapest players on the roster. Yeah.
So, and yes, I know he leads the league in drops so far this year. I think he has 8 through 4 games, which is not great.
Look who's throwing him the ball.
But look who's throwing the ball. I would not be surprised if he was sort of checked out. I also wouldn't be surprised if getting traded to a team like, let's say, Buffalo or New York or New Orleans or, you know, any of these teams that are being thrown
Kansas
out there.
City.
Kansas City. Any of these teams that are being thrown out there. I feel like that would be a sort of like, all right, let's go. Like, I'm going to be a main factor.
That's a pump up for sure. I mean, especially when you look at the Browns being 1-3. And how bad they've looked in that 1-3,
and it's not getting any better.
It should honestly be 0-4.
It's not going to get any better. I don't know when they're going to bench Deshaun Watson. It has to happen soon. I actually do think I've had this conversation. I think with Sneaky Joe of just like it's probably more likely they fire Kevin Stefanski first than actually benching Deshaun Watson because of how much money they've put into Watson. They've essentially, you know, for lack of a better phrase, sold their soul to get him.
Yeah, right.
I think they would fire Stefanski first. And, yeah, I think Joe's brought this up and, like, try to go get, like, Bill O'Brien at Boston College to try to bring him back from his Houston days.
That, to me, though, I don't know. I mean, and obviously your other options are Jameis Winston and Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Jameis Winston, baby.
It's not great there, but you have somewhat of a proven success with Jameis Winston. Like,
I'm all in for Jameis Winston.
I am too. I mean, Deshaun Watson, not only is he a bad person, but he is not good at football.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't look good out there anymore. And I just think that if you're the Browns, yes, obviously you gave all that up to go get him, but at some point you're going to have to bite the bullet and just say, you know what? It's over. It's not going to work. Let's just move on. And, you know, again, Watson's not a great person, but he was a great quarterback at one point.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of the Browns being good with this receiver group and with this offense they have was definitely there. But through 4 games, Watson has shown you that he is not what he used to be. And that's another reason, like what you said, I think Amari Cooper is a kind of guy that might be a little bit checked out and maybe is creeping closer to the situation that Devontae Adams is in, where it's, I want to get out of here. I want to go to a contending team that I can perform with. And again, that's kind of why I think he's just more of an under-the-radar pick for a team that might need a wide receiver like the Bills.
Yeah, it's just he is the one I'm most interested in. I think, namely, I would say almost for 2 reasons, but they're kind of the same. One, it's going to cost you very little, both on the cap and in draft capital to actually get him. I don't think you'd have to give up a player or what have you. But also, and to that point, you don't have to hemorrhage the future to contend now. I think this team has been very open, honest, and in everything they've done of building towards the future, building towards that next core that is going to take them into the next, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years with Josh Allen. I'd then rather them have, I think, the 9 draft picks they're going to have and all the cap space they're going to have next year and continue to build this roster forward. I am somebody that has been a big proponent of continue to add wide receivers in the draft because I think the wide receiver position has never been better, especially at the college level. I mean, you're looking at 17-year-olds on Alabama in Ryan Williams. I mean, like playing an active, great role on the team, and he's not even the only freshman wide receiver going off. Smith at Ohio State has been amazing. Jeremiah Smith, I think, is his name. Ryan Wingo at Texas. Nick Marsh at Michigan State. There are a number of these freshman wide receivers, and that's not even to just say this class coming out now. I would want the Bills to add another wide receiver. I heard Jeremy and Joe talking, too, this morning about how sort of the Keon Coleman stuff and how the draft board probably didn't fall their way. I think you can make that assumption based off them trading back, adding draft capital. They may have liked Keon, but knowing they could get him later or get him or Leggett or whoever later and they could trade back, I would argue, because we took that a call yesterday on, you know, the Bills have had terrible wide receiver luck in terms of the draft.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it be two, 3 years ago where four guys went right in a row, and it was like, okay, we got to take Dalton Kincaid. They may have loved Dalton Kincaid, but that may not have been their plan A. They may have been plan B or C. And then even, you know, in past years as well, just like it doesn't fall their way in terms of value, even getting a receiver there. But I think the Bills have shown they want to add more playmakers in the offense throughout the early rounds, whether it be James Cook in round two, Dalton Kincaid in round one, Keon Coleman in round two, in three consecutive drafts.
Yeah.
I think they are going to continue to do that. I'd much rather them do that than add a 32-year-old Davante Adams on potentially a one-year deal, or I'd even say an Amari Cooper at 30, 31 years old, even for, say, a fifth or sixth round pick and very cheap. My thing would then be, like, it better just be a one-year thing and then go and draft another young guy. Continue to build what you're building. I like what they're doing on the offense in terms of Yak, in terms of having more options for Allen to throw to rather than just Diggs and maybe Davis. Because I still think that was their biggest problem on offense the last 2 years. It wasn't that Diggs was a diva or drama. I read the Jeremy Fowler piece. I think a lot of it was just more to the fact of the Bills kind of really wanted to get away from just he's the only guy we've got, and we need to spread the ball out more. We need to have more options for our quarterback to go to. I don't disagree with that philosophy at all. I think, again, I think they wanted to do that for a few years and just missed at wide receiver a lot.
I think also, too, obviously you brought up there, like with James Cook, Dalton Kincaid, and Keon in the past three drafts, of getting these playmakers, and we're seeing James Cook really come into that role this year. I mean, right through 4 weeks, mm-hmm. he's been a great running back in terms of production, in terms of touchdown. He had three touchdowns against Miami. I mean, he was the offense that game, right? And obviously it's not going to be like that every week, but at the same time, you're seeing this start to develop and start to become a viable option. Dalton Kincaid, mm-hmm. still out. The jury is still out a little bit on him. He's got basically the same numbers at this time last year that he did at this time this year that he did last year.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Keon Coleman's a rookie, so you don't know what you're going to have there yet. But the point there being is you're seeing them start to stock the cupboards, as you always like to say, is you keep adding in these early rounds. And I don't think if you trade for an Amari Cooper, I don't think that stops you from doing that at all.
I agree.
But I also wonder, with all of the cap space the Bills cleared in this past season, obviously there's a lot of dead cap right now.
I was going to say, are preparing
It will clear this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if, while they still add to these places, add to these, you know, younger groups, are they going to go out and get aggressive in free agency? Are they going to go out and get a 28, 29, 30-year-old wide receiver for a 1 or 2 year deal?
I would wonder if it's not a wide receiver they do in free agency. I have to look at the actual edge rush class.
That's fair.
I think that might be somewhere where they go, namely due to the fact, I mean, look, you're looking at a Von Miller suspension,
mm-hmm.
four games now. We'll see if there's an appeal or anything like that.
Right.
But he's already 35. And to be fair, up to this point, look, Greg Rousseau, week one, great, three sacks. He has literally not registered another one since.
Right.
You know, Ed Oliver, you're not getting a ton out of him yet. I think that might be more what they go into the offseason of trying to get another edge rusher, like they did with Von Miller.
Yeah.
And like it was working before his torn ACL.
Right.
So I think that might be something they could try to do.
I think the other interesting point here is that, think last year at this time, it was, you know, you have Diggs, you have Davis, you have all of the things that the Bills had last year, and it was, hey, go out and get guys in the draft and just have them like waiting there until Diggs and Davis and all your offensive weapons are kind of aged out,
mm-hmm.
and then these new young guys will be learning under them and bring them in. Now it's kind of the reverse, where you're kind of bringing in the young guys and then, okay, go out and get one or two star veterans that will help prop up the young guys. It's almost the reverse of like, you had what you want now. Like you already had it, but maybe it just wasn't the type of thing mm-hmm. that you wanted. And that's where I think, you know, if you read the Jeremy Fowler piece on ESPN, I think that's kind of what it became.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where you'll see maybe this offseason, like I said, if they go out and try to get a veteran wide receiver that can come in and maybe mentor a couple young offensive weapons.
Yep. Let's get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll start today with Anthony on the line. Anthony, good morning. How are we doing today?
How you doing, guys?
Doing very well.
Von Miller, can he appeal that suspension?
I believe so.
Because in MLB, you're entitled to appeal and suspension, and you're allowed to play until your appeal is heard.
I don't think that's how it works in the NFL. I think once he's suspended, he's suspended. He can appeal it to bring it down games, but he can't appeal the suspension completely.
That's not right.
I mean, Anthony, thanks for the call. I don't really understand how it's not right. They suspended him. He can appeal it. But, yeah, until he is found innocent for the league,
right.
I get what he's trying to say there.
I know it, like, it makes sense, but at the same time, it's how the NFL does it compared to the MLB. It's two different leagues with two different policies, but at the same time.
And to be fair, I prefer the NFL's.
Yeah, because, I mean, especially if it's a performance in-game stuff, like especially in the MLB, you have all the stuff with steroids, there's a reason why you would want the player to be out.
Yeah.
If he's doing those things, you want to find out if he's actually doing those things, because he could really, you know, screw up a team and screw up a team season. So I get what he's trying to say there, but I don't know. I don't think that would work that way.
I think for my thing too is why would you want to push off what is likely going to be a suspension anyways? It's not going to be appealed, and all of a sudden they're like, actually, never mind, zero games.
Right.
You'll just push off what will then, if your appeal works, two games maybe?
Right, and if it takes, you know, a week or two, then
Say we're still at four games, and like the NFL moves, which is at a snail's pace, he's suspended for the playoffs.
Right.
Because it took the entire season for the appeal to go through.
Yeah, no, I'm more than happy with, like, if he appeals it and it comes down a game or two, that's great, but if not, you know what, it's four games. And
it's in the early part of the season.
Yeah.
He's 35, cool, no wear and tear. If we're just looking at on-the-field stuff.
Honestly, too, if there is anything going on injury-wise, he's got 4 weeks off. You know?
Yeah.
I don't think there is, but at the same time, if there ever was, you know.
It's not the worst time for it to happen.
Right. And obviously, too, like with the whole situation there, I mean, that's been going on now. Or it's almost been finished now at this point. So that's, you know, why it's not. The whole court case in terms of that stuff is not really in the news anymore because it's been already taken care of and moved on. But if that was still going on, then, you know, obviously it'd be a different case.
Yep. Let's go to Marvin here on the line. Marvin, how are we doing this morning?
Oh, good morning, guys. I just heard the tail end of what you're saying. I was on the line with the fella. And, I don't know what the fella's calling about. Said it's not fair. If it wasn't his name, Von Miller, and he had the money, the guy would have probably been prosecuted in jail, got jail time. So, you know, that's what, in a nutshell there. But I was telling him, everybody's so concerned with receiver. Our defense is exactly what I thought it was. We played a tough opponent, and look at what happened. Look at what happened. Ed Oliver needs a stud next to him, not an old retread. We need some big young men, you know, 325, 330 pounders that can hold their own in there. We were getting blown off the ball. It was, you know, on that, on, if you, I watched that play five times, the first play of the game. Do you know if it was one finger touch, he would have still been a touchdown? You know that? Nobody touched that man. Nobody, not even a hand on him. It's sick. I'll tell you, Buffalo's defense is what I thought it was going to be. And, you know, you guys always think that I try to poo-poo the Bills. I love the Bills, man. You guys were a twinkle in your dad's eye when I was watching the Bills, and I love the Bills. But it just saddens me how they go about things. I don't think Brandon Bean's a good GM, and we need some studs on defense. The word for today is stud. We don't have studs. All right, brother?
All right, Marvin, thanks for the call. I mean, Baltimore is the only team that plays like that and is good. Derrick Henry is a freak of nature at running back at 6'3", 240 pounds, and the Bills have a ton of injuries that force him to stay in nickel. Yeah. I don't love the result of the game, and yeah, the 87-yard touchdown run, Marvin is right on that fact. No one touched him.
Yeah.
I also have no idea how many other teams can play like that, honestly.
Right. I mean, especially because you look at, like you said, what Derrick Henry can do, and also the fact that you also have Lamar Jackson, who's basically another running back.
Yeah, like their running game is filthy.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how many other teams can actually perform like that. And again, I think this is also a big thing. Let's not overreact to a single game. I kind of fell into this too of the first three games of like, man, all right, here we go. Like they're, you know, right. Jamarcus Ingram, Cam Lewis, what have you. Their backups eventually look like backups. They did. I think Joe put out the PFF scores today for the defense. It was a lot of the backups that were on the low end for the defense. They're getting healthier. We'll see about today in terms of Terrell Bernard and Taron Johnson. That's also how a lot of NFL defenses are built nowadays. It's smaller and faster. Derrick Henry is an outlier. I would also say, with that word of the day, outlier, would be Baltimore. There's not many other teams that can play even remotely like them, and less so to the ability that they can.
Yeah, I mean, you could have looked at the schedule this season before the games even started and just picked out teams and said, yep, that one, that's going to be a tough game because that team is, in its own right, just has something that's unstoppable.
And, I mean, different from everybody else.
Right. Like you can do that with a few different teams in the Bills schedule. Like maybe before the season, you could have looked at Jacksonville and said, hey, maybe if Trevor Lawrence comes in and he's Trevor Lawrence, that could be an issue. But you look at Baltimore and their outliers are Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. You look at Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, obviously. Like there's teams on everyone's schedule that are just, they have that extra oomph of, man, that's going to be a really tough game regardless of how well we are playing.
Yeah, and look, I don't want to defend the Bills. I mean, they were blown out.
As
close as they were making that game, they really weren't.
They
never felt like they were in control.
If they would have got the touchdown on the trick play drive,
yeah,
then it would have been a different story. But ultimately, obviously, sure. They don't.
Ultimately, for me, though, it was you know, your weaknesses in the middle of the defense with the injuries to the linebackers. I mean, your two starting linebackers are not there and have not been there for, you know, a few weeks now. And, yeah, you had to stay in nickel with a lot of backup players on your defense because that's really all you had left. I do still think it's an outlier game. It's why I'm not freaking out yet, even though they were blown out. We'll see about the Houston game, though. We'll see how that goes. Houston is a different offense compared to Baltimore. They do not run the same offense. We'll get more of a word on that at 11 o'clock when John Harris joins the show, sideline reporter for the Houston Texans. But got to take a quick time out here as coming up, we will talk to our own Sal Capaccio as the Bills get ready for this week and get ready for the Houston Texans on Sunday. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt, still taking your calls, 803-0550, the number to call. This is WGR.